This week's Parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh and Shushan Purim. Wanted to dedicate the learning for the Refuah Shleima of Chaim Baruch Ben Rachel Malka, which continue to heal. So when we celebrate Purim, the Megillah tells us that v'in hafochu, that there was a complete reversal. It went from literally one extreme, the darkness of potential utter annihilation, to literally the turned upside down, v'nahafocha, a complete reversal, to the point of not only not being destroyed, but becoming, replacing our enemies and taking over their positions in power. So in the spirit of Purim, I wanted to just share an idea that I saw this week from the Sifsei Chaim. So it's a little bit more Kabbalistic, a little bit of a different approach, but I thought beautiful, very powerful idea. In this piece on Purim, he discusses the power of Purim. And to truly appreciate the incredible power of Purim, he explains the Kabbalistic approach to understanding this world. And the challenge that, and this is again on a simplistic level, but I hope this makes it clear, is that on the most basic level, we have a challenge of Hashem, God, who is the Ein Sof, he's the unlimited and non-physical being. How does that able to enter into a physical realm, into a finite realm, into something that's not unlimited? So you're taking something, it's just a simple picture, an image of that which is just vast, and trying to stick it into a small little, into a little tiny or a very narrow type of vessel. It doesn't work. It's a big challenge. So the way the Kabbalists approach this, they explain that there are different levels, and that there's almost like a filter of sorts that comes through, and it takes this incredible, incredible power of the Ein Sof, of the unlimited, and as it passes down, almost like a ladder, and it gets kind of watered down, or it gets filtered to make it that much more palatable and able to enter into this realm. Now, he explains that the shame of Hashem, Yud-Heh, Vav, and Heh, is also symbolic of Yud as being this upper, again, this idea of the really out there, unlimited aspect of God. And then from there, you come into this next Heh, which is this idea of more something that's, I guess we'll call it comprehensible by human comprehension. And from there, it enters into the next realm, which is the soul, or the it's called, he calls it Teferet there, but it's also, again, a filtering system that comes down into the lower Heh, from above to Heh, so that it's almost like, again, this is just another description of this flow from up and down. What he explains is that then when things are completely aligned, so for example, when the Jewish people had the Beit HaMikdash, when we had the temple, there was a complete alignment in this name and the way the flow came. And therefore that translated into blessing, into the, and the way this would translate is that you would have a palpable presence of Hashem, of God, in the world. And that when there was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, of the temple, that filtering system, the flow, became disrupted. And as a result, we didn't feel the presence of God. And when we're not attached in that proper way, so then we're missing out on the blessing. We're missing out on the presence. It's a total package of connectivity. So now, you might ask, so we're not connected. We're missing out on some blessing. But the way he explains it is that when we are disconnected and we don't have that flow that's supposed to be coming through when things are aligned, so then it creates a very problematic type of situation for the Jewish people, and that it leaves us extremely vulnerable. Now, then he goes on to explain that at this moment in time of Purim, when Purim occurred, it was 70 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It was the end of that time period. It was going to be, we're on the cusp of coming back to Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple and getting back to having things properly aligned. But at that moment, before the dawn, is the darkest of times. And because this was the, like, we were on the cusp of the dawn of a new period of the temple and the realignment of getting back to having that full flow, right at that moment was our most vulnerable. It was the darkest period. And Haman, our arch enemy, we always seem to underestimate our enemies. Haman understood, he sensed this incredible vulnerability of the Jewish people. And therefore, he actually understood the vulnerability and he jumped in trying to take advantage of this incredible vulnerability. And that was, we were sitting there completely, really ready to be destroyed. Scary to think about it, that we were so disconnected and our protection was so far removed that Haman and his diabolical plan was going to happen. With his great mercy, Hashem circumvented the normal flow. So the way it works is that it goes from like a four-stage, we'll just use it simple here, the way it's explained is a four-stage filtering system. Here, Hashem circumvented that and sent the flow from the highest realm. So if you can imagine, if you're talking about this incredible burst of energy, of spiritual power that came through without the filtration, because there was no time to wait. Hashem had to pass it through to save us. And so therefore Purim, which was so dark, became this incredible burst of light and salvation. And it was passed through our heroes of the story, Mordechai and Esther. They were able to channel this incredible power. And so hence, we were saved from something that was really out of the ordinary, because it doesn't work this way. Normally, it has to go through this chain of filtration. But instead, we got this burst of incredible energy from Hashem that saved us. And so, as we celebrate holidays in the Jewish calendar, every holiday has within it, embedded within it, in the time, the special, whatever unique powers that occurred in that holiday, like a Pesach or a Sukkot or even Yom Kippur, these different times of the year, some event occurred or a series of events occurred in that time period, and in the time itself, it has that power, that energy within it. So when we come to Purim, we are experiencing an incredible, special, potential connection to God. Hashem, in a certain sense, opened up the limitations, and he sent us this incredible burst of energy. And so when we come to a Purim, we are, if we sensitize ourselves, if we prepare ourselves for this incredible burst of energy, then we're able to have an incredibly higher connection to Hashem. The Sifsei Chaim beautifully explains that if we're able to take advantage of this, we should be able to feel and experience an incredible closeness and pleasure in connecting with Hashem that we don't necessarily have access to during the rest of the year. So when we come to a Purim, Shushan Purim, which is the day after, but even this incredible period of time, we have to understand and take advantage of this incredible burst of energy, power that Hashem has bestowed upon us. And in that way, we should look at it as an opportunity to get that much closer. What's the greatest pleasure in the world is to be able to connect to Hashem. And so it's a time that's also, you know, is conducive to praying and to asking for things and to be answered and to also connect. And that's why we give Matanos Levyonim, and we give Mishlach Manos, we give all these these special things to our friends, also to connect, because there is this idea also of connecting to the greater Jewish people in this time period. So my blessing is that we should be able to be the vessel, to be a kli, to be able to receive and to be able to connect on this incredible level. Wishing everybody a great Shabbos and a really happy Purim. All the best.